Hi, Gudvach. This is Yisachar Wartel. We are now up to Parshat Balak. That's right, this year it is not a double Parsha, even though we've had a lot of double Parshiot this year. Chukat was last week, and Balak is this week. And we're actually approaching the 3 weeks, and maybe at some point we'll talk about that as well. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? Let's enjoy, only positive times and only times of Simcha. That being said, in terms of encouraging more simcha, I also wanted to mention that tonight's shiur is sponsored once again for the Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Leia, Dr. Zelenko. It's also the 31st yahrzeit of my grandmother, Rachel Batzvi. And this week's dvar that I'm going to give was largely shared with me by someone who's very dear to me, Rabbi Amiram Gobay. May he live and continue to be well. He also could use your tefillos as well. He is struggling with some health issues, and he was a teacher of mine and taught me a lot of really, really amazing things. So this is part of largely in part due to words that he had taught me. In repeated attempts, Bilam was not able to curse the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, as Balak had wanted him to, and not once, not twice, goes through a third time, hoping to see some weakness in Bnei Israel's merits. And this time, Hashem speaks through Bilam not only words of blessing, but praises that supersede any curses and deflect any minimalization of the blessings that Bilam is uttering. Bilam's blessing begins with the famous pasuk, "Ma tovu ha'olech Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael." How good are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling plants, O Israel, dwelling places, O Israel. The beauty of the blessing can be seen as follows. You wanted to see bad, I will show you good. And not only will you utter a blessing rather than a curse, but the first statement will not be enough. Ma tovu ha'olech Yaakov, how good are your tents? Their tents are proper, good, and modest, but they only define Bnei Israel from a physical perspective. So too, they are dressed as Yaakov, Jacob, which does not show their spiritual potential. Therefore, Hashem causes Bilam to utter a second half, which is Mishkanotecha Yisrael. Each tent is more than a tent. It is a Mishkan, a place where Hashem dwells, which obviously the largest tent being the tent of meetings, or the Mishkan itself, functioning as the Mishkan, the central dwelling place for Hashem amongst Jewish people. These people are more than just the sons of Yaakov. They are Bnei Yisrael, right? They are the righteous people of Hashem, righteous people of God. Now, Bilam's next utterance is Kinchalim Nitayu Keganos Ali Nahar. Like streams, they spread out like a garden atop a river. There's a couple other ways of explaining that, but simply that's how it's translated. Bnei Yisrael is like water and nourishes and spreads out, but also spreads its influence in the way of Hashem, irrigating the land to make it fertile and blossom like a magnificent garden, which obviously this can also be an allusion to Torah, which I'll get into a little bit more in a moment. Furthermore, Bnei Yisrael are not merely a stream which is wont to dry up, but they are a mighty river that cannot be stopped, which permeates large surface and can reshape the land. That's right. The merits and the deeds of Bnei Yisrael can shape the world. I mean, mankind can in general, but certainly Bnei Yisrael has an extra koach in that regard. In the second half of this pasuk, Bilam continues, Ka'ahalim nata Hashem ka'arazim alimayim. Like aloes, Hashem has planted them, like cedars that grow by the water. Again, we have some parallels. Bnei Yisrael is firmly planted and are beautiful and useful like aloes and similar plants, right? As we know, aloes are very good for, burns and have a lot of other medicinal properties. They're soft, they grow easily. Yet Bnei Yisrael are also truly cedars. They are strong trees, not small plants, and they cannot be uprooted so easily. And that also gets into the whole thing about being pliable like a reed, and I'm not getting into that right now, but it's an interesting thing to think about. Furthermore, they're not just planted on earth, but rather they continuously develop themselves and grow through water, on the banks of water, in a sense, alimayim, which is through Torah. They constantly reinvigorate themselves, digging their roots into the ground, absorbing the water of Torah. Now, Bilam continues to bless. Yizal mayim midalyav, yizaro b'mayim rabim. They shall flow like water from a well, literally like a well-type bucket, and they're chosen with a multitude of waters. Bnei Israel continues to flow and bring forth water, i.e. Torah and nourishment throughout the generations to the world. But it's not a mere bucket's worth, but rather it's a multitude of waters, right? It is not just this nation present before him. It is their children and their children's children eternally throughout the generations. right? We need to keep that water flowing. We need to keep that Torah going. It's important to keep Torah in every household to keep that bracha going. And it continues, V'yaro me'agag malko v'tinasei malchuto. The king shall rise above Agag, and their kingdom shall be carried high. Now, Agag was actually a generic name for an Amalek king, even though we know it most commonly by the episode of Sha'ol, where he fails to kill Agag, and therefore Shmuel is forced to, but it still leads to the propagation of future generations of Amalek. But nonetheless, in this case, it is referring to a general Amalekite king, and it represents the attempt of Amalek to defeat Bnei Israel after Kriyas Yamsov. But not only are our kings and our leaders greater, but the entire kingdom, all of Bnei Israel, is inherently greater, because we are partners with Hashem. We represent Hashem in this world, whereas Amalek just represents haphazardness and happenstance and that most themselves. In the next pasuk, Bilam utters a blessing stated previously in the second set of blessings. El motzio mi Mitzrayim ketoafot reim lo. God has taken it, meaning the nation of Israel, from Mitzrayim as the loftiness of heights they are to him. Now, this can have a lot of different translations, actually. Toafot is not necessarily so clear. It's probably related to la'uf, meaning to fly, and therefore that's why it's often translated as loftiness, re'aim. It seems like it means heights, but there's even which heights it's referring to are not necessarily so clear. But we're gonna leave it at that translation, right? The loftiness of the heights they are to him, like the highest of the high, right? They came out of the lowly despair that they were in Mitzrayim, and they rose to, they soared to the highest heights. They went from the 49th level of Tumah to the 49th level of Tahara. They rose onto the pinnacle to receive the Torah, right? That's what Bilam is saying. That's what Bilam is telling Balak. You can't mess with these people. When they're in the right place, you can't touch them, right? At this point, Hashem caused Bilam to utter several more metaphors regarding Bnei Israel defeating its enemies, which is, in fact, the proper conclusion, seeing as the primary reason that Balak wanted to have them cursed was, in fact, to prevent Bnei Israel from defeating their enemy, Moab. Just thinking about that, we see the power of a blessing, even from somebody as wicked as Bilam, that his words were incredibly impactful. Now, obviously, he does some things and organizes things at the end of this week's parsha, which obviously unravel and are kind of disastrous. But anybody can be a conduit for Kedusha, even the Marasha, right? If Hashem sees it fitting and the person is worthy of being blessed, or a nation is worthy of being blessed, it can happen through who else it is. I mean, it could be our greatest enemy, and Hashem could just make them open their mouth one day, and instead of cursing Israel and cursing the Jewish people, they could start a blessing, and nobody would know how it happened, but it's all possible, because, we know that Hashem is really running everything, right? There are also so many other ways to interpret the psukim in addition to the way that I did, but, I felt this was a good way of explaining it, so... I guess I'm ending a drop short today, I apologize, but may our lives be filled with blessings rather than curses, and may our blessings not be minimalized, but expressed wholly with their full potential. Shabbat Shalom.